Hello, this is my Lenten diary for April the 12th, 2019. Today is Friday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from the 12th chapter of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." We read this passage of Scripture as the Gospel reading last Sunday at the Eucharist at both liturgies. And it is quite the story, a dinner party given for Jesus by his friends, Lazarus, and Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha, in the town of Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem. This is from the 12th chapter of John, and the 11th chapter of John records the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So now Lazarus is at dinner, Jesus and his disciples, and ostensibly, a whole lot of other people are at this dinner, and Mary interrupts the proceedings by anointing Jesus' feet with this very expensive perfume. And as we read last week, and as I just read, Judas questions why this extravagance. She could have sold the perfume and given the money to the poor. What I've been thinking about today, relative to this text of Scripture, is a charge that is often leveled at the church, which is, why do you spend so much energy and time on liturgy? Wouldn't it be better to do acts of service for those who are on the margins? What good is worship if we're not really actively working to do the gospel in the world? In this way of thinking, worship is seen as an extravagance, as an option, but not really about the work of the gospel. Nowhere is the extravagance of worship more visible for us as Episcopalians than Holy Week. I was counting up today, and between Palm Sunday morning, in just a couple of days, at 8 o'clock, and the conclusion of the second liturgy on Easter Day, a Sunday later, there will be 12 liturgies here at Trinity Church. From very small intimate gatherings to, as Palm Sunday and Easter Day often are, large, full liturgies. And the question could be raised, why go through all of that? Instead of telling the story, why aren't you busy living the story? Instead of commemorating Jesus' final week, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, would it be better to live in the world doing good works in Jesus' name? And I frankly think that that's a false dichotomy. I believe that it is out of the worship of the church that we are strengthened to do the work of the gospel in the world. As I said to the congregation last Sunday, I discovered a new way of translating the line where Jesus says, "You always have the poor." That verse, as it's translated, has often been used as an excuse actually not to be more engaged with those who are on the margins. But I read last week a commentator that suggested that it might be better translated, "Have the poor always with you." which would be an invitation on the part of Jesus to never be distant from the poor, to be close with them, to be proximate to them, so that the poor are no longer a project, but the poor are people with whom we have relationships. And that, at the end of the day, is what we see in Mary's great act of devotion to Jesus. She offers this sacrifice of a valuable item and this servant's stance of washing his feet with this expensive perfume. She does that as an act of worship. And in worshiping Jesus, she serves Jesus. And I think that Holy Week provides us a good opportunity to think about the relationship between worship and service. We will certainly spend time in worship, and we will remember the one who became of no reputation, who emptied himself, took the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And we believe that the person who did this is the very embodiment of God. If God, the God of all creation, humbles God's self to the point of human likeness, extravagantly pours upon humanity the abundance of God's grace, might the least we could do be to pour upon God the extravagance of our praise? And in giving of our praise, in serving God, in worship, we may find ways, we may discover ways, we may intuit ways that we can more readily and more fully serve God in the world. In the name of the one whose obedience took him to death on a cross. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.